Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri, and the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit my webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on liver disease right after this. You know, in 1787, the writers of our Constitution put in this clause at Article 1, Section 10. It says, "No state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debt." Now, that clause follows the biblical injunction on just weights and balances that we find in Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. Now, private business is carried on in gold and silver coin. Public business is conducted in commercial paper. Commercial paper like stocks, bonds, and Federal Reserve notes, and credit cards, and debt, and usury. Well, back in 1965, Congress said that there's no difference in the value of gold and silver coin versus clad coin or currency. And you know, that's very true when we're dealing with banks, government, and commercial industries. But out in the real marketplace, there's a 7-to-1 difference in the purchasing power of gold and silver coin over paper, and there's a 7-to-1 difference in the taxes that are due on that paper money that are not due on gold and silver. Now, God and our founding fathers did not give us gold and silver coin for no good purpose. They knew that as a matter of law, gold and silver coin was absolutely necessary for us to deal in order for us to establish our property rights. Well, neither did our Congress and politicians take our gold and silver coin away from us for no good reason either. They knew, and they knew full well back in 1933, that in order to subjugate a free people, they would first have to take away their gold and silver coin in order to take away the people's right to own property and to destroy their property rights, which they have done. Now, if you and I intend to regain our rights, duties, and capacities, then we must first regain our property and property rights. And that's because property is the legal foundation for all of our liberties. So let me teach you how to do just that. This business school is now on compact disc for adult homeschoolers. If you would like more information about my private business school, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package first. Remember, that's free. That's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. It's informative, it's entertaining, it's educational. Best of all, it's free of charge, and you can call and order yours right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. My business school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. And if you're online, just go to the website, georgegordon.org, click onto the email and send an email request for your free general law CD package. Remember, georgegordon.org. Or call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were talking about kidney disease. You know, this fellow Richard Schultz operates a clinic, and he also operates a botanical pharmacy. This is a place that you go to get herbs. If you want herbs for healing, you have to go somewhere to get it. If you want drugs, you go to Rexall. If you want herbs, you have to go to a herbalist. Richard Schultz is an herbalist. I think he's pretty good. You don't have to go to Richard Schultz, and I keep telling you that because I don't want you to think that I'm promoting Richard Schultz above everybody else. I don't have any commercial or economic agreement with him. But I'm reviewing his newsletters. I've got 2 or 3 newsletters here, and I thought, well, I'll share some of this with you because Americans have a lot of fears, and I think some of these fears are unfounded. Fears of cancer. I think the fear of cancer is totally unfounded. Cancer is easily curable. I know the allopathic medical doctors tell you it's incurable, but they're not lying to you. You know, if a guy walks up to you and he says, hey, listen, I don't know the cause of cancer, and I don't know the cure to it, I believe him. He's probably telling you the truth. But that doesn't mean that somebody else doesn't know. Does it? You know, if I took my car into a mechanic and I said, what do you think's wrong with it? And the guy says, I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with it, and I don't know how to fix it. I would take that car to another mechanic. That's what I would do. Americans don't do that, though, with cancer. They go to an allopathic medical doctor, and the doctor says, we don't know what causes cancer, and we don't know how to cure it. And people say, oh, God, doc, whatever you do, let me pay you money. I've got insurance. Treat me. And they do. They treat them for about 18 months, and they die. Costs $100,000 to die with cancer here in the United States, anyway. I don't see any reason, logic, or common sense behind that, but I don't want to get in the way of the happiness and success of people who do. After all, it's a choice that you make. I'm not here to preach at you and tell you not to go to the medical doctor or Mercy Medical Center or to the John Hopkins Hospital or something. You know, if you want to do that, get after it. Now, Schultz starts off his newsletter here on liver. You know, he talks about something every month. He'll send you a newsletter, and he'll pick the heart, and he'll pick cancer, he'll pick kidneys, he picks the liver, something like that. All of us have one of these livers. We all have hearts, you know, and we all face the same threat of cancer that everybody else does. I have the same threat, the same statistical odds of getting cancer or heart attack that you do. I'm not worried in the slightest. Maybe I'm too dumb to be concerned. But, you know, women are real concerned, and they're rushing off every year and getting mammograms and one thing and another. My wife doesn't run off getting a mammogram every year. She's not concerned about cancer. And that's because there's 9 known cures to cancer. 9. And most of them have been known since at least 1900. But of course, a cure to cancer isn't where the money's at. The money is in treating cancer, not curing it. And cancer begins in the liver. L-I-V-E-R. Cancer begins in your liver. If your liver is functioning correctly, you will not get cancer, boys and girls. So when you do get cancer, you got a poorly functioning liver, number one. And even if you can cut the cancer out, you know, we're going to cut off your left tit, lady. Even if we do that, you haven't removed the cause of the cancer. So then your other one's going to get cancer, or they're going to get cancer in some other part of your body at some later date because the cause of it's down in your liver. So if we could get to the cause of it, you wouldn't need to worry about it. Now listen to what Schultz has to say about your liver. Just yesterday, my little local bank was robbed for the second time this year. I heard people talking who were in the bank and terribly frightened about it. Most of them said, what if the robbery went bad? We could have been shot and killed while we were just standing in line. Now, a few weeks earlier, a local gas station convenience store was also robbed, and again, people were frightened. And a lot of the people in my town also commute to Los Angeles, and many are frightened about the recent increase in carjackings. And one woman said to me, well, what if the carjacker panics? They might kill us. And not that long ago, one of my neighbors came home unexpectedly, only to surprise burglars coming out of his house through a window. It was an encounter that could have potentially been deadly. Now, there's no doubt about it, my friends. We live in dangerous and violent times, but we should be prepared for that. From karate lessons and cayenne pepper sprays to home alarm systems, stronger locks and neighborhood watch programs, Americans spend billions of dollars a year on personal protection. But do you think all of this money is being well spent? Down on the bottom line is that in this recent string of neighborhood robberies, none of my neighbors were hurt, not even a scratch. And the odds are that you or your loved ones will never be hurt by another human being. Statistically, the odds are you don't need to be worried about getting hurt by another human being. But while most of us invest our precious time and hard-earned money in our attempts to protect ourselves from crimes and criminals, instead, we should be creating a program to protect ourselves and our family from the most dangerous of mass murderers. The latest statistics say that this killer is out to murder you and every member of your family and everyone that you know. And that killer is disease. Now, do you think that the word murder is too strong when we describe disease? Well, I don't. In fact, I think it's too lightweight. Actually, the death toll from disease in America is far more criminal than murder. It's far worse than terrorist attacks, genocide, or Holocaust. It is criminal because it's totally preventable, 100% preventable. I'm going to pause here, Dr. Schultz, and I want to make a comment. The Bible is a contract between God and you. I've got a contract with God. It was negotiated out at Mount Sinai by a fellow named Moses, who got the terms and conditions from a guy that he called God. Well, we call him God. I don't know what he called him at the time, but we call him God today, or Yahweh, or Yeshua, or Buddha, or Allah, or something. Everybody's got a name that they hang on this mysterious creature, this mysterious thing, being, creature, that we call the creator, or first cause. Well, he made a contract with us. Now, that was 84 generations ago, and under the terms and conditions of that contract, you're entitled, by law, by contract, to 70 years of life. 70 years. That's 25,550 days, by law. If you die before your 25,550 days have expired, under the terms and conditions of the contract, assuming, of course, that you are specifically performing under those terms, you have a wrongful death action against God Almighty Himself, live and direct. Isn't that just special? In fact, in the scripture from Genesis to Revelation, there's only two guys in there that died before they were 70 years old practicing this law. Two. John the Baptist and the Messiah himself. And the Messiah said of John the Baptist, there's none born among women greater than John the Baptist. Now, I'm just a poor old country boy out here in the countrysides of South Missouri, but I'm entitled to 25,550 days, and I intend to collect all of them. But in order for me to collect those 25,550 days, I have to specifically perform to the terms and conditions of the contract. And when you go to a cemetery and you take a look at the gravestones and you see a gravestone and the guy died at age 56 or 33 or 16 or 9, there's a breach of contract there. Breach of contract. And people will say to me, I get letters in here all the time, they say, I don't know why God let all those little children die in that tidal wave over in the Indian Ocean. Time and chance happened to them, boys and girls. They weren't under the contract. Time and chance got them. you ought to avoid time and chance if you can. And that's because all of this disease over here comes from time and chance, not the contract. And it's totally preventable. So when Schultz says all this disease is preventable, not only is he talking about it's preventable because we know how to prevent it, we know how to cure it, but under the terms of the contract, if you would practice the law, you'd never have disease. All right, now Schultz goes on to say, last year in America, 20,000 people were murdered by other human beings. Now, I agree that that's 20,000 too many, but if you add up every single person that's ever been murdered in the United States of America in the 228 years of our existence since 1776, when this country officially began, it doesn't come close to how many people will be murdered or who will die just this year from just two human diseases. Think about that. Everybody that's ever been murdered in the United States of America from 1776 to last night is fewer than are going to die this year, 2005, from just two diseases, cancer and heart attack. Got that? Now, and every one of those cancer and heart attack deaths that are going to occur this year, every single one of them is preventable. And every single one of them is curable. That's the other half of it. Now, statistically, the overwhelming odds are that you and every member of your family and everyone that you know will be murdered, but it will not be by another human being. Instead, you're going to be murdered by a disease. Now, in 1918, 60% of Americans were healthy. 60% of Americans had no diseases. 60% of Americans had no symptoms. 60%. Think of that. That's the good news. Now, the bad news is 40% of them were sickies, like my Aunt Floy. I had an Aunt Floy, and she wasn't a hypochondriac. I mean, she was really sick. She really had some ailments, and the ailments that she didn't have was her hypochondria. And she lived, boys and girls, she just lived for pain and suffering and anguish and sympathy. And when you went over to her house, the conversation was always about her sicknesses and diseases and pains and her drugs and visits to the doctor and hospitals. And it was always about medicine and sickness and pain and disease. I don't know if she was a Republican or a Democrat. We never talked politics. I don't know what religion she belonged to. We never talked about religion or the Bible. We only talked about sickness and disease and pain and suffering and anguish and Marcus Welby, MD, and Mercy Medical Center. You probably know somebody that's similar to that. And of course, everybody had ideas. You know, oh, well, Aunt Floy, why don't you try this or that or something else? Aunt Floy didn't want to try anything else. Aunt Floy didn't want to be cured. If she had been cured, she wouldn't have anything to talk about. It would have destroyed her life. Lots of people are like that. They don't want a cure to disease. They like disease. They love it. They revel in it. Now, the two most lethal diseases known to man are circulatory disease and cancer. The two most lethal. Circulatory disease and cancer. Together, they're going to kill twice as many people every day as all of those that died in the terrorist attack on the World Trade Center. You hear that? You take all the people killed in the World Trade Center. Boy, we got real excited about that. We went to two wars over that. Afghanistan and Iraq. I mean, we're just really excited. Today, twice as many people died from cancer and heart attack as died in the trade center. It's like a World Trade Center terrorist attack every 12 hours of every single day, 365 days a year. When was the last time you heard somebody get excited about that? Demand that the president do something. And that fire never dies. The smoke never clears. People keep screaming and crying as the death toll keeps climbing. Now, heart attacks and strokes are the number one murderer, the number one killer here in America. Keep in mind that not a single person need die from heart attack, stroke, or cancer, circulatory disease. You were designed to die, and you're not getting out of here alive. There's no doubt about it. Nobody gets off of planet Earth alive, not even God himself. Jesus died here, boys and girls, and set us an example, and you're going to die just like I am. But there's a better way to die than from AIDS, dementia, heart attack, stroke, or cancer. And the way you want to go is you take your shoes off, undress, climb into bed, and go to sleep, and then don't wake up. My old granddad Snyder died that way. He went to bed at 10:30 at night, they reported. And at 7:30 the next morning, he didn't come down for breakfast. And they got a little concerned by 8:30, so they went up and knocked on the door, and he didn't answer. And so they opened the door, and they walked in, and there he was. And the obituary in the paper said that old Abe died peacefully in his sleep. How do we know that? Well, when people die peacefully in their sleep, their eyes are closed. And there's no sign of a struggle. There's no blood coming out of his nose or out of his eyes and out of his mouth. He went to sleep and his heart stopped. Now that's the way you want to go. But unfortunately, in America today, only 1% of people die of natural causes. Take a look in the obituary section of your paper and see how many people die of natural causes. They die of car wrecks and they die from cancer and stroke and heart attack. And take a look at the ages of these people when they die. You know, they're 35, 40, 45, 50. Now, I live down here in the Ozarks, and most of the people that die down here die of old age. And not all of them now die peacefully in their sleep, but many of them do. I won't say most, but many of them do. And when you read in the obituaries, you know, they're 85, 90, 78, sometimes 102, like old Bessie Smith. People live longer down here in the Ozarks because they eat better, or at least they did over the last 100 years. We're starting to get in some of the poor food that you people have in the city down here, and we have more and more people getting sick. I got a neighbor lady over here. She's about 40, 45 years old. She has double breast cancer. She called over here and asked my wife what she should do, and my wife told her, so she went in and she got chemotherapy and radiation treatments. That isn't what my wife told her. But you know, that's the way people are. You know, you tell them, hey, listen, I had cancer 28 years ago and cured it, and here's what I did, and they mold that over, and then they go to the doctor. She'll be dead here before long. She's not dead yet, but she will be before long. The chemotherapy will get her. It always does. It always does. Well, I shouldn't say always does. 38% of people live for 5 years. 38%. 62% die before 5 years. And they keep telling you, well, if you get in here sooner, you get in here in time, Schultz can take you, and so can any other naturopath, even when you're pronounced incurable, it can cure you. But now watch out for this one. Once you go in for chemotherapy and radiation treatment, that destroys your immune system, and without your immune system, the naturopath can't save you either. So tuck that one away in your heart. Now when they tell you you're going to die and you need chemotherapy, if you think chemotherapy is going to save you for 5 more years, 38% they do, but I don't know of anybody that they've said you're going to die, you know, you're terminal, I don't know of anybody that they've been able to save. At least not in my experience, not in my lifetime. So I'm just looking at it like an insurance company. You know, what's your statistical odds? Where do you get your best chance? What's the best shot? So heart attack and strokes are number one. Circulatory disease is going to kill more Americans this year alone than the sum total of every American who has died in every war that this country has ever fought in over 225 years since the American Revolution. In case you're wondering, that's over 1 million people that are going to die this year from circulatory disease. There hasn't been that many people die in all the wars in America's history. And you know, people get excited about that. At Pearl Harbor, we went to war. I mean, we got really excited about that. Vietnam, Gulf of Tonkin, we got excited about that. Trade towers, terrorist attacks, we get excited about that. But on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 to 10, these wars and terror attacks don't even score 1. Not even 1 on the scoreboard. Your chances of getting killed in a terrorist attack are so minuscule that it doesn't even appear on the radar screen. Your chances of dying from heart attack or cancer, just one of those two, over the next 40 years is 22%, 1 in 5. So as you look around the room, you got 5 people in there, and over the next 40 years, one of those 5 are going to die from heart attack or stroke or cancer, circulatory disease or cancer, 1 in 5. Now, on an annual basis, it's only 0.005, so it's not very good. You got 270 million people in the country, and only 1.5 million of them are going to die this year from those two diseases. But over the next 40 years, if you're 20 years old, your chances of drawing Social Security aren't very good. 22% are going to die. Now, it doesn't mean that you should give up on Social Security. It just means that 1 out of 5 of you ain't collecting. It's a hell of a lot poor odds than getting killed in a terrorist attack. Now, cancer is the number 2 killer, and it's currently wiping out Americans at about 600,000 a year. Now, that's equal to all of the soldiers that were killed in the entire decade of the Vietnam War, except that many die from cancer every month. Got that? Every month. Now, I don't see anybody protesting or going out on the streets. In addition to this massive death toll, over 1.5 million more new cancers are spreading through the bodies of Americans every single year now. You see, 100 years ago, your chances of getting cancer in your lifetime were 1 in 33. Today, it's 1 in 2. And in 15 years, it'll be 1 in 1. They guarantee that every American is going to get cancer once in his lifetime in just 15 more years. Now, my common sense would tell me that the people who are running this country, the politicians, the medical doctors, the researchers, the PhDs, the piled higher and deepers, don't have a clue as to how to protect us from these diseases. We were better off with whatever it was we were doing 100 years ago compared to what we're doing today. People say to me, well, we're living longer today than we did 100 years ago. No, we're not. No, we're not. That's not true. It's true when you add in infant deaths, but it's not true when you talk about adults. If you lived to be 20 years old in 1900, your chances of dying before you were 70 years old were less than they are now. We have cleaner water, and we have sewage treatment, and we have fewer children dying before they reach adulthood. And because of that, when you add in those statistics, we're living longer today than we were in 1900. But once you reach 20, your chances of living to be 70 were much greater in 1900 than they are today. You see, disease today is getting us. Diseases that we didn't know about 100 years ago. AIDS, for instance. Nobody ever heard of AIDS 100 years ago. Alzheimer's disease. Nobody ever heard of Alzheimer's disease 100 years ago. In fact, Alzheimer's disease is fairly new. Came around about 1979. Now, before a heart attack crushes your chest, and before the stake or stroke kills your brain, and before the cancer eats you alive, long before your liver was already ill, congested, and it stopped protecting you. That's right. A sick and malfunctioning liver is a root cause behind the two biggest killers, killer diseases in America. Now, how can this be? Now, here's why a sick liver causes heart attacks and strokes. We'll stand by and we'll come back and we'll tell you why a sick liver causes heart attacks and strokes. And we'll show you what you can do about it to protect yourself. It's simple, too. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. So if you're driving down the road and you're listening to this program right now and you say, God, I'd like to have a copy of this program, where can I get it? Well, when you get home, just go to your computer and click on to georgegordon.org, go to the archives, and you can download this program on MP3, just like the radio stations do, and you'll have a radio station quality CD of this program. How's that for a plan? That's part of it. It's free of charge. You can just do that free. Keep in mind that the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events from the scriptural perspective, and we do it 7 days a week. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are believed to be true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to the authors and publications used on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, the endorsements or recommendations that we give on this program do not necessarily mean that the authors or publications so endorsed or recommended will reciprocate. Most of the authors and publications cited on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not necessarily endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review, and vice versa. They may not endorse our views either. And then keep in mind that the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to my website, georgegordon.org, or call the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or call the law school direct, 417-273-4967. All right, now what causes a sick liver? Sick liver. Now, your liver has many functions, and one of its main functions is balancing the amount of fat in your blood. It is common scientific knowledge and simple Newtonian physics that too much fat in your blood causes your blood to be thicker, which causes your heart to pump harder to move this thicker, more viscous fluid around in your body, which causes hypertension or high blood pressure. Let me pause right here. Dr. Schultz, let me make an observation. Did you know that God in the Bible told you not to eat any fat? You shall eat no manner of fat, talking about animal fat now. Animal fat. When you go down to McDonald's and you have a Big Mac, that's 30% fat in that hamburger. Strictly prohibited by God. Now, God's a pretty broad-minded guy. Just don't think about it. He didn't come down, strike you dead last time you went down to McDonald's, gave him the finger, and ordered a Big Mac. Now, did he? He just sits back and says, well, I'll just leave that guy go, and it'll plug up his veins, and one of these days at age 37, 49, or 62, he'll kick off, and his old lady will call George Gordon and say, why did God let old Roy die? Then he makes me be the heavy, and then I got to call Marge back on the telephone or send her an email and say, because old Roy wouldn't have it any other way, Marge. He made up his mind that he was going to eat whatever the hell he felt like eating, and God could go to hell in a handbasket. And God, being broad-minded and liberal and all, said, well, let old Roy just eat whatever the hell he wants. And old Roy did, and it killed him. So that's the way people eat, and that's the way people die. Now, hypertension, and this is high blood pressure alone, can cause heart attacks and strokes, but when this fat increases and accumulates even more, it can block off critical arteries to your heart and brain, causing heart attacks and stroke. All right, so here's what happens. Your creator, God Almighty in heaven above, the designer of your body, designed it to burn certain kinds of fuel. Fat's not one of them. And if you're asking the question, well, why in the hell didn't he make our bodies to digest fat? Well, why don't you ask him in the resurrection? And it's like asking the engineers at Ford, how come they didn't make your automobile to burn ATF fluid or 90-weight gear oil? I don't know. They designed your car to burn diesel. They designed your car to burn unleaded fuel. And then they give you an owner's manual and they say, don't put this kind of fuel in this hole. My car out here, it's got a little sign back there that says unleaded fuel only. I don't know why they did that. I think it was stupid. of General Motors and Ford to make a car that runs on unleaded fuel only. The damn fools all ought to be shot. But meanwhile, back on the farm, that's the way life is. Meanwhile, back on the farm, your body is not designed to digest fat. Your body can't burn that kind of fuel. Somebody said, well, wolves and coyotes do. Yes, sir, they do. Wolves and coyotes can digest fat. They really can. So can buzzards and worms and all kinds of other critters out there. They can digest fat and they can eat it. And human beings can't. So you ought to take that up with God and ask him how come he didn't make you so you could digest fat like wolves and coyotes. But for some reason, he didn't do that. Now, that's where reality's at. So if you want to go down to Big Mac and tie into another jag of fat, and we'll get after it. But meanwhile, back on the farm, you can't do it and get away with it. And that's what Schultz is telling you here. He's just saying, you know, we go down here and we eat this fat, and it causes hypertension, causes high blood pressure. Now, your liver's job is to maintain the right balance of cholesterol and fat in your blood. And when your liver is sick, it can make too much cholesterol, or it can't process and eliminate the fat and cholesterol in your food program. And then your blood fills up with fat and cholesterol, and now you're at high risk for circulatory disease. Isn't it just special that God figured that out? Told you not to eat fat. Now, I didn't tell you why. Schultz can tell you why. Modern science today can tell you why you can't digest fat and why you shouldn't eat it. God in the Bible never did tell us why. He just said, don't do it. Kind of like my old man. He just said, go to bed at 8 o'clock. He didn't tell me why. He didn't tell me how good that was for my health. He just told me it's going to hurt real bad if I didn't do it. I tested him once, and he was right. It hurt real bad. Now, the liver is also responsible for producing vitamin K, which is your blood clotting factor. Well, a sick liver doesn't do this correctly either. So if you're one of those bleeders, you know, and you cut yourself, they call them hemophiliacs. Kind of like my Aunt Floyd. She was one of those hemophiliacs. No, she was a hypochondriac. They bleed. You know why they bleed? Because their liver isn't functioning correctly. Now, what do they do with bleeders? Oh, they give them blood transfusions, and they give them the clotting factor, and then they kill them with AIDS. We used to have a lot of hemophiliacs in the United States. We killed them all with blood transfusions. We gave them AIDS, and they all died. Their underlying problem was that their livers weren't functioning right. Now, if we could have straightened out the liver function, which medical doctors don't know how to do, don't get involved in. They treat these diseases with drugs. They don't cure them. Now, if there's anybody out there that knows of any disease that's been cured by any allopathic medical doctor, let me know what it is, would you? Well, I imagine there must be five, but they're few and far between. You got 450 diseases out there, and they can't do much for heart attack and stroke and cancer and muscular dystrophy and Lou Gehrig's disease and hemophiliacs. You know, they got treatments for all of them. They got a cure for none. So your liver is responsible for producing vitamin K, which is your blood clotting factor. Well, a sick liver doesn't do this correctly. And besides too much fat and cholesterol in your blood, blood clots are also a major factor in causing heart attacks and strokes. Now, boys and girls, this is not rocket science. Keeping your liver clean and functioning and healthy will directly protect you from killer heart attacks and strokes. Now, here's why a sick liver causes cancer. Many medical doctors, especially oncologists, that's a cancer specialist, a cancer doctor, they'll tell you that long before a person develops cancer, their liver was weak and not protecting them. And this is why the liver is often referred to as your first line of defense. And the reason for this is fairly simple. Your liver is your defensive barrier between the things that you take into your body and your blood. It literally blocks or neutralizes harmful substances from getting into your blood. And almost all cancer today is directly linked to toxic chemical exposure. Let me pause right here again, Doc. Toxic chemical exposure. Do you know, boys and girls, that we have 87,000 chemicals? 87,000. I saw that number the other day, and I was just absolutely flabbergasted. Yeah, chemicals that we use, you know, in your automobile, for instance. You know the antifreeze that you put in there? That's a chemical. And you know that bug spray that you use, you know, to kill hornets and wasps that you spray out of the can? That's a chemical. And you know all those detergents and bleaches and toilet sanitizers and all that? Those are all chemicals. And the acid you put in your battery, you know there's a chemical. Now listen, we got all these chemicals out here. Some of them are pretty bad chemicals. They're pretty toxic stuff. And we live our lives over here, and we eat foods that have chemicals in them. I mean, just take a look at anything in the store. Pick up a package of Oreo cookies. And there's about 5 or 10 chemicals in every package of Oreo cookies. All of the foods that are manufactured and processed have some chemicals. Just take a look at your lunch meat, and it's got two toxic poisons in there. They're called sodium nitrite and sodium nitrate. Deadly, toxic, chemical poisons. And they put them in there to kill bacteria. But there's not enough of it in there to kill you. But you keep eating that lunch meat, and pretty soon these toxic chemicals build up in your fat. And then pretty soon you start developing some symptoms. You know, you might get Parkinson's disease or Hansen's disease or Alzheimer's disease or something else. And then what we say is you got a symptom. You know, we describe your symptoms and we hang a label on it. Makes us feel real good that way. So there's nothing worse than being symptomatic and then not have a name or a label to hang on the symptom. You know, people just go nuts. My Aunt Floyd was that way. She had to have a label to hang on the symptom. So, you know, if you've got sore joints in your fingers, we call that carpal tunnel syndrome. See that? You can't be a sore hand or sore fingers. You know, you got to have a label to go on there. So allopathic medicine comes along, and God bless them, they copyright all those names too, and then they come up with some chemical that you can take called a drug. All these drugs are made out of chemicals. Well, you put all those chemicals together and you stick them in your body, you shouldn't be too surprised that it causes some various and sundry reactions and sometimes some diseases. Diseases, that means I don't feel good. Disease, I'm ill at ease, I don't feel good. Now just look it up, my friends. Toxic chemicals are the cause of cancer. It's that simple. And when these toxic chemicals get into your blood, they can get into every cell in your body. Then you got big trouble. Now no one knows how to deal with stopping this chemical exposure. It's the American way of life, the American dream. We all want it. And it's now killing us. And this lifestyle that we all pursue, we all love, and we all live, causes water and air pollution. And the food we eat, it's all tainted with a list of chemicals longer than most books. 70,000 new chemicals have been developed in just the last few decades, and less than 2% of them have been tested for safety and long-term exposure. 70,000 in just the last few decades. 87,000 total chemicals are in existence right now, being used. I mean, there's probably a bunch of chemicals that we knew about 100 years ago that we don't use anymore. I don't know if those are being counted or not. 70,000 of these new chemicals have been developed in just the last few decades. Friends, just the off-gassing of toxic chemicals from the furniture and carpets in your house has made the average American household air inside your home worse than the air outside in any major city in America. I don't know if you knew this or not, but your carpets are giving off formaldehyde. Formaldehyde is a preservative. That's what you put into a corpse, into a dead body, cadaver, we call it, to preserve it, you know, for the funeral. And then, of course, you'd bury it in a hole in the ground, and then they dig them up, you know, 100 years later, and they're still good. I mean, if you talk about preservative, formaldehyde, and that, of course, is in your carpet, and it's giving off these gases in your house, and you're breathing these all the time. That is, if you've got nylon carpeting. Now, in our house, we have wool carpeting. Costs a little more. Wool carpet costs a little more. But then it's not giving off formaldehyde, and, of course, I don't have to worry about that chemical. Now, I get exposed to chemicals just like everybody else, but I try to avoid it. And most people that know about this are doing the best that they can, or the best that they know how, to avoid it. Now, he goes on to say, should I mention that most toothpaste now have a warning label instructing you to call the poison control center if you swallow any? Toothpaste, now, wait a minute. Let me ask you something here. Would you brush your teeth with arsenic toothpaste? I mean, this arsenic won't harm you in the toothpaste if you don't swallow it, but if you were to accidentally swallow it, you should call the poison control center. Would you use that kind of toothpaste? Well, toothpaste has fluoride in it. Fluoride. Fluoride is a toxic chemical. It's a deadly poison. And they put it in your toothpaste. They put it in your water supply. Most people say, well, I don't believe that my government would poison me. Well, Procter & Gamble will. Procter & Gamble will. They put it in your toothpaste. And so will a lot of other corporations, because they're selling you something that you believe in. People believe in fluoride. They believe that it prevents tooth decay. Well, I got a bunch of cows out here, and I've been in this business for many years. I've never seen a cow with tooth decay, and I've never seen a cow brush her teeth. So that sends me a signal and says brushing your teeth doesn't prevent tooth decay in cows. And it doesn't prevent tooth decay in humans either, because I see that the people that go to the dentist all brush their teeth. Now, I wouldn't go so far as to say that brushing your teeth causes tooth decay, but it sure as hell doesn't prevent it. Does it? I don't know. People keep brushing their teeth. I don't know why. It doesn't prevent tooth decay. I guess they're saying, well, my God, I brush my teeth 3 times a day and I had 2 cavities this last visit to the dentist. I guess he's saying to himself, imagine how many cavities I would have had if I hadn't brushed my teeth. I'd probably have 4 or 8. That's why I brush my teeth. It keeps the cavity count down. My cows don't brush their teeth at all and they have no cavities at all. Of course, none of my cows have been out there sipping and sucking on Cokes either, and they don't eat hydrogenated vegetable oil. So maybe there's a causal link there. Do you ever think about that? You ever heard of 1-800-HERB-DOC? Why don't you write this number down? It's 1-800-HERB-DOC. That number is 437-2362, in case you can't spell. 1-800-437-2362. Now, this isn't the only place in the world that you can get a liver cleanse product. You can go to any health food store. You can go to any naturopath. The reason that I'm touting Richard Schultz is because he's an herbalist, studied under Dr. Christopher. I was always impressed by Dr. Christopher's work and what he's done. So I wanted to tell you, you can call Schultz and ask him for this liver cleanse. Last time I told you about his kidney cleanse. Different herbs work differently on your body parts. Herbs aren't drugs. Herbs are foods. Herbs have lots of vitamins and minerals in them. Herbs have chemicals in them, natural chemicals. Pharmaceutical companies travel all over the world. They run up and down the Amazon River, and they're looking for plants, herbs. Did you know that aspirin comes from an herb called white willow bark? That's what aspirin is. But you see, white willow bark can't be patented. So then they find out what the chemical in this is, and then they go out and they get some. They get a barrel of oil from the Arabs, and then they synthesize this, see, with some kind of a petrochemical. Then they can patent it and sell it. Those are called drugs. If you'll stay away from the drugs, which are called the art of the apothecary in the Bible, also known as witchcraft, punishable by death. It's a capital felony. So I try to avoid witchcraft and drugs, and I concentrate on food and herbs, because God told us that he would give us every green herb that grows on the planet for food for us. Yeah. And then the government comes along and takes away your bloodroot, cocoa, and heroin poppies, and then gives you in its place chemical concoctions, 87,000 of them, that kill you. But they do it in the name of the health, safety, and welfare of the public, and they're just doing it because they love you, boys and girls, and they want to save you from yourselves, because God's stupid and you're ignorant. So the politicians and the druggists and all of these chemical engineers, all the smart people with degrees after their and letters after their names, who also do this to make profit and gain money. All right, let me tell you a little bit more of the story here. He said, should I mention that most toothpastes now have a warning label instructing you to call the Poison Control Center if you swallow any? Toothpaste, Poison Control Center. Can you put that together, boys and girls, and come to a conclusion that maybe toothpaste ain't healthy? I don't have any toothpaste in my house. I don't have any fluoride coming through my water pipes. But don't let me tell you not to imbibe in toothpaste and fluoride and chlorine. I mean, if that's what tastes good to you, go ahead and get after it. He goes on to say, when we breathe, drink, or eat any of these toxic chemicals, guess which is the only organ in your body that has the big job of neutralizing and eliminating these poisons? Poisons, chemicals? Yep, it's your liver. Even the American Cancer Society publishes tons of information warning people of the cancer risk associated with many foods. And most people that I meet don't seem to understand that what you eat has a direct flow from your intestines right into your blood. And the only protection that you have to keep these harmful things out of your blood is your liver. Liver, boys and girls. That's why liver flush. Flush the chemicals out of your liver, boys and girls. Now, after you eat food and swallow, and this food leaves your stomach and enters the small intestine where the majority of the food absorption takes place. On the surface of your small intestine, you have microscopic hair-like structures called villi, V-I-L-L-I, which absorb your food and put it directly into your portal vein, which is directly connected to your liver. What you eat goes directly to your liver first, to be filtered out. Your liver is your only defense against dangerous toxins and chemicals getting into your blood and every cell in your body. So again, it's your liver's job to eliminate, neutralize, and render harmless all of these toxic chemicals and poisons before they enter your blood and into your cells. Because of all of this important role of keeping your blood clean, this is why when someone gets cancer, their liver isn't doing its job months, maybe even years before you get cancer. So what happens here is we take in all these chemicals, and as a result of the chemicals, it plugs up our liver. And then from that, your liver can't keep it all out, so these chemicals get out into your cells and bodies, and then in your body, and then you develop this little lump, and then, oh my God, the doctor says you got to cut off your left tip. I think we could save a lot of breasts in this country with a liver flush, you know that? So I'm going to suggest to you that you call and order, just call and order the free newsletter, okay? Don't have to buy anything. I'm not selling you anything. Now, if you want to buy a liver flush, it's going to cost you money. If you want somebody to concoct it and compound it and put it all together and send you the directions, you got to pay them. And if you want to learn how to do it yourself, well, then you can do it yourself. Herbs, you know, you can buy in any health food store. I want to warn you, though, that the herbs that you buy in the health food store, especially if they come from India or China, are not very good herbs. Many of them are grown on chemical soils. So Dr. Schultz says when he buys his herbs, he only buys organic. So I thought I'd point that out to you. That's why I suggest that you think about Dr. Schultz, because he sticks with the organic product. Now, you can call him on the phone. Just call and tell him, put me on your newsletter list, would you? Even if you're not sick. And this is the best time for you to subscribe, when you're not sick. People will call me here and they'll say, I got to go to trial, or I got to go to court tomorrow or the next day or the day after. What should I do? And I always tell them, you should put your head between your knees and kiss your ass goodbye. You don't do that with the doctor. The doctor tells you, oh my God, you're terminal. You should have come to us early. Well, give your nature path the same kind of consideration, would you? Call the guy before you get sick, not when you're going to die next week. Give him a chance, would you? So put yourself on the mailing list. It didn't cost you anything. Just call this number, 1-800. It's a toll-free number, 1-800-437-2362. It's called 1-800-HERB-DOC, H-E-R-B-D-O-C. Can you remember that if you're driving down the road? 1-800, toll-free, 1-800. You can remember that. Now it's HERB-DOC, H-E-R-B-D-O-C. Okay? And just tell them you want to get on the newsletter. Now, you'll get a newsletter just like I do. Then you can read just like I do. I'm just giving you a report. This is called a review of a newsletter. I think the guy's pretty good. If you think I'm in cahoots with him and I'm peddling pills, don't buy Schultz's stuff. Just go to a health food store and get your own. Get your own. Blend your own. Educate yourself to your liver. But pay attention to what he's telling you, and maybe this will make some sense to you. And then when you get cancer, instead of running off and getting your left hip cut off, ladies, maybe before you do that, maybe if you cleaned up your liver, you can save your breast. Maybe, just maybe, if you clean out your liver, you never would get cancer to start with. Wouldn't that be even better? Unless, of course, you think that chemicals are good for your health, in which case, well, then, if chemicals are so good for you, why don't you swallow your toothpaste? If you think fluoride's that good, swallow the stuff. That's what I told you the other day. I said, hell, if minimum wage is good at $8 an hour, can you imagine what a tremendous blessing it's going to be at $16 an hour? Or $32 an hour, or $64. Hell, I think government should come out here and cunningly coerce every employer in the country to pay $64 an hour, minimum wage. They'll give all the poor people in the country a lot more money to spend, won't they? All right, I'm about out of time, so I'm going to have to leave it right here, boys and girls. You've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, why don't you go to the website georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school and is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to the homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. And The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Well, there's the signal. Says time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.